From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? You should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. From the sun, white sand beaches, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico, this is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2019. Welcome, I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm co-executive producer and co-host, TK Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2019 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 webcasts for personal use is authorized and encouraged. I'd like to say hello to some of our listeners who believe these people are listening tonight. Edward Marriott, Doreen Michelle DuPont, who is a recent friend of ours that we made last month in March at the Climate Reality Leadership Core Climate Reality Leader Training in Atlanta. It's the Atlanta 2019 training. So welcome to Doreen. We believe she's listening tonight. Also, Ina Fey and Seme, who I met in person at one of the Florida Fracking Summits. And Deborah Johnson. We believe they're all listening tonight. So thank you for listening.
Woohoo!
On Spectrum 360, in this edition for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2019, the focus of this program is politics, a report, the environment, and the film. I will explain. I guess I need to, right?
Probably.
Okay, well, I shall. Segment one, live in studio, the news summary from the last week since the last Spectrum 360 radio program, and one item from this week in history as well. And then segment two, live in studio, the future events calendar, hosted by program co-host TK Weeks. Both of these segments are Spectrum 360 exclusives, exclusive to this program. And I have to compliment my co-host TK Weeks for the excellent job she does every week on the future events calendar. Very, very good.
Thank you.
And then segment three, the Jim Hightower commentary for this week's Spectrum 360 on the subject of taxes and who pays them. That'll be interesting. Especially for the last couple of weeks. Then segment four, live in studio, the Spectrum 360 report on the Mueller report. We'll have a recap of what's happened last week regarding the Mueller report all the way up to the current time. And then segment five, live in studio, Spectrum 360 report, the Extinction Rebellion, Portland, Oregon, letter to the mayor and city council of Portland, Oregon. This is extraordinary. Co-host TK Weeks will lead this segment, and she will read this extraordinary letter, which we found online. It's very well worth listening to, let me tell you. It really, really is. And then segment six, the Spectrum 360 film review of this film, They Shall Not Grow Old. It's a documentary film that's been done in an extraordinary and original way about World War I. We'll talk about that in the last segment, segment six. Very interesting film, extraordinary, and something that people should pay attention to because it's such an extraordinary documentary. We'll talk about that in segment six. On next week's Spectrum 360, more coverage of recent events from the archives of exclusives that Spectrum 360 Media has a large amount of. And yeah, we do have a large amount.
I have no idea.
Listen to the radio program Spectrum 360 on these Tampa Bay radio stations, AM 1340. That's WTAN AM, AM 1350, WDCF AM, AM 1400, WZHR AM, and then FM 104.1, WTAN FM, and FM 106.1, WZHR FM, or live stream at www.tantalk1340.com or your TuneIn app. You can use that as well. Listen to Spectrum 360 webcast MP3 file anytime. Go to spectrum360media.com, scroll down to the program date of your choice, click on the control bar to play the program, or right-click your mouse and select Save Audio As to download an MP3 copy of the program to your device. It's easy. You do that all the time. I do. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, Spectrum 360 Media, and Spectrum 360 Video. Is that enough places for you to check on the web? I think it is. Yeah, I think so. So, let's take a break for 2 minutes, 30 seconds. We'll come back with segment one for this week's Spectrum 360. If I can get my act together here and actually produce this program. Wouldn't that be cool? Yes, I think so. So, we want to do that for you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure. So, let's go ahead and do that. And here's what Jim Hightower is going to sound like on this week's Spectrum 360.
How can you pay less than zero in taxes? You can't, but I'll tell you who did today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
Okay, that's Jim Hightower. That's what he's going to sound like on this week's program. So very good. And we sure appreciate each and every one of you listening every week. This is what makes this program fun and rewarding. And just such a joy to do is doing this for you folks every single week. The TK Weeks, any comments?
No, I'm really excited about the Extinction Rebellion. I think you guys are going to be very impressed and moved by what's been going on in Portland right now. It's not getting any media coverage. It's almost a Spectrum 360 exclusive here because I haven't seen anything about it other than some stuff online.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment.
Spectrum 360.
I didn't mean to get into this, but I was so offended by the comments of our president yesterday on white supremacy in the immediate aftermath of that tragedy in New Zealand. We have to have a new president of the United States in this country. We have to have a new president of the United States in this country.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at TANTalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
We take care of our own. Wherever this flag's gone.
Hi, Hi, this is Bruce Wright and
Jorge Angulo
with Revolutionary Road Radio Show on the Tan Talk Network, and we're on Monday nights at 10 p.m. and we just want to let you know about a drive we're doing to support orphaned girls in Sierra Leone and the refuges work with the homeless. You can support this effort by going to paypal.me/therefugefl or call 727-278-1547. Sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture and
Angulo Law Office.
He's brought us to the brink of nuclear war, accused of obstructing justice at the FBI and of violating the Constitution by taking money from foreign governments and threatening to shut down news organizations that report the truth. If that isn't a case for impeaching and removing a dangerous president, then what has our government become? I'm Tom Steyer, and like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something. It's why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices together and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment. A Republican Congress once impeached a president for far less. Yet today, people in Congress and his own administration know that this president is a clear and present danger, who's mentally unstable and armed with nuclear weapons. And they do nothing. Join us and tell your member of Congress that they have a moral responsibility to stop doing what's political and start doing what's right. Our country depends on it.
And yesterday was Easter Sunday, and I want to play this one song that I think is the best modern Christian rock song for Easter, honor Easter Sunday, just a short segment of it. It's a beautiful song. How do you like that for Easter music?
That's beautiful. I've never heard that.
Yes, it's the Easter song by the second chapter of Acts and a band called David. And at one point, they were one of the recordings they did of that, they were joined by Barry McGuire, who was the famous for singing in the 1960s the song Eve of Destruction.
Eve of Destruction.
Yeah, interesting. So for all you Easter churchgoers that went to church yesterday, that's a little treat for you.
Mwah. I'm glad you're in a good mood. Let's get right to the disasters.
Let's get to segment one. This is the news summary for this week's Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2019. And TK Weeks is going to cover the Mueller report.
Yes, on Thursday, April 18th, the Justice Department released a redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report detailing Russian meddling in the 2016 election, the Trump campaign's contacts with Russia, and President Trump's attempts to impede the special counsel's investigation. The 448-page document states Trump's campaign expected it would benefit electorally from information stolen and released through Russian efforts, but concluded that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. The report reveals that when President Trump was first told of the special counsel's investigation, he slumped back into his chair, proclaiming, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed." On Thursday, Trump responded to the report's release. President Trump said, "I'm having a good day, too. It was called no collusion, no obstruction." Mueller's report outlined at least 10 instances where Trump tried to impede the special counsel's investigation, but came to no definitive conclusion on whether Trump broke the law by obstructing justice. In the report, Mueller suggests that this is a decision for Congress that contradicts the conclusion by Trump's hand-picked Attorney General, William Barr, who said Trump did not obstruct justice. He's not afraid to jump right to that conclusion. House Judiciary Committee Chair Jared Nadler said he'd ask Robert Mueller to appear before Congress as soon as possible. Representative Nadler saying, "I have formally requested that Special Counsel Mueller testify before the House Judiciary Committee as soon as possible so we can get some answers to these critical questions, because clearly we can't believe what Attorney General Barr tells us." Some lawmakers said the report offers a roadmap to Trump's impeachment. Freshman Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, "Mueller's report is clear in pointing to Congress's responsibility in investigating obstruction of justice by the president. It is our job, as outlined in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 of the United States Constitution. As such, I'll be signing on to Rashida Tlaib's impeachment resolution." In Florida, the Broward County Sheriff's Department says it will probe the actions of officers caught on camera brutally assaulting teenagers after responding to a call about an after-school fight in a McDonald's parking lot near their high school in Coral Springs. Viral video of the sheriff's deputies pepper spraying teenagers and slamming one boy's head into the pavement before repeatedly punching him in the head. The boy was left bleeding heavily and was later rushed to an ambulance. On Friday, April 19th, on Capitol Hill, Judiciary Committee Chair Jared Nadler subpoenaed Justice Department to turn over an unredacted version of the Mueller report, along with all evidence obtained by investigators about Russian meddling in the 2016 election. The subpoena came as President Trump and his media surrogates continued to insist that the report showed no evidence that Trump obstructed justice, that no one on the Trump campaign committed a crime in 2016 when Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, and others met a Russian lawyer promising dirt on Hillary Clinton. Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, speaking in CNN Sunday, said, "Any candidate in the whole world in America would take information negative to your..." Jabe Tapper says, "from a foreign source, from a hostile foreign source." And Rudy Giuliani says, "Who says it's even illegal? Who says it's even illegal?" What a zoo. And on April 20th, Saturday, back in the United States, the FBI has arrested the head of a vigilante militia group that has repeatedly filmed itself holding migrant border crossers at gunpoint in New Mexico. 69-year-old Larry Mitchell Hopkins is the leader of far-right pro-Trump group calling itself the United Constitutional Patriots. The ACLU has described them as an armed fascist militia organization. His arrest on Saturday on firearms charges comes 12 years after he was arrested in Oregon for unlawfully impersonating a police officer. Last week, videos posted on social media showed members of Hopkins' militia pursuing migrants in New Mexico's desert west east of El Paso, Texas, holding them at gunpoint and coordinating their arrests with U.S. Border Patrol agents. Wow. And, of course, Sunday, April 21st was Easter Sunday, and unfortunately there was some tragedy in Sri Lanka. Nearly 300 people were killed and more than 500 injured after a series of bomb attacks tore through churches and luxury hotels across the island nation. A first round of deadly attacks hit busy Easter services at Catholic churches in the heart of Sri Lanka's minority Christian community in and around capital Colombo, as well as a Protestant church in the eastern city of Batticaloa. Bombs also exploded in three luxury hotels in Colombo, with another blast striking a hotel near a zoo south of the capital, and a final blast at a private home, believed to be tied to the attackers. Government officials blamed a local Islamist extremist group called the National Tawhid Jama'ath for the attacks, prompting a nationwide curfew for more than 21 million people. Authorities also shut down all social media sites in the wake of the attack, including Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. Meanwhile, Sri Lanka's telecommunications minister said a government memo circulated by Sri Lanka's top police official 10 days earlier warned of a possible attack, but that warning was ignored.
And in London, police have cleared Parliament Square and Oxford Circus shopping district of sit-in protesters with the group Extinction Rebellion as they continued a week of actions demanding urgent action on climate change. Since mid-April, London police have arrested nearly 1,000 people as protesters stopped trains, blocked roads, and superglued themselves to buildings.
Superglue?
Yes, that's happened multiple times.
Goodness.
In acts of nonviolent civil disobedience, on Sunday, 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg joined the protests, and I quote, "We are now facing an existential crisis, the climate crisis and ecological crisis, which have never been treated as crises before. They've been ignored for decades, and for way too long, the politicians and the people in power have gotten away with not doing anything at all to fight the climate crisis and the ecological crisis. But we will make sure that they will not get away with it any longer," quote, unquote. And last week, Greta Thunberg was welcomed to the Vatican by Pope Francis, where she urged the pontiff to join her international climate strike.
"And a child shall lead us." Monday, April 22nd, that's today, and it is the actual Earth Day, although there have been kind of Earth Day celebrations going on for the last few weeks.
And I want to mention that Spectrum 360 Media has multiple videos up from the Earth Day St. Petersburg 2019 celebration in Williams Park in downtown St. Petersburg. That was on Saturday the 13th of April 2019. That was two Saturdays ago. Now, there's two videos that we've produced, one of the Mayor Kreisman, and another one, it's a photo essay video that has 41 images of the celebration, and it covers the entire day in less than 4 minutes. So go see that on Spectrum 360 Media. Those two videos are there for you. Plus, you can see the webcast of this, or listen to the webcast of this program on the website as well.
In Washington State, an investigation by The Guardian reveals a prominent Republican lawmaker held private discussions with far-right figures about spying on political opponents and even targeting them with violence. Records from the private chat room show State Representative Matt Shea discussed disrupting a planned demonstration by anti-fascist protesters in Spokane with Jack Robinson, host of the far-right show Radio Free Redoubt, and with Anthony Bosworth, a veteran of the 2016 occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge by anti-government militia. The chat log shows Shea agreed to carry out background checks on the protesters and did not object when Robertson proposed attacking a woman activist with the threat, fistful of hair and face slammed to a jersey barrier. Treat him like communist revolutionaries and shave her bald with a K-Bar USMC field knife. Nice. After The Guardian published its expose, Washington's lieutenant governor called on Republicans to eject Representative Shea from their caucus. And solidarity. After some 31,000 grocery workers at hundreds of Stop and Shop stores across New England have ended a 10-day strike after reaching a tentative contract with the supermarket chain, the workers are claiming victory after the company met their demands for pay increases, a better health insurance plan, and other benefits.
And in just a couple of brief headlines, thousands of people marched on Morocco's parliament demanding release of political prisoners. In Sudan, protest leaders end talks with the ruling military council. And there's also major conflict in Libya between two regions of the country and two different factions fighting control of the country and the government. So that's the news.
Some of it, anyway.
Yeah, as usual. And it's crazy. And that's what we've got for you now. Don't depress you too much. So there. Take that.
There's one thing I hate. All the noise.
So let's get ready for segment two, and we'll be right back with that. Okay, it's time for the segment two for this week's Spectrum 360 and the future events calendar. And I've got to get the mood music for TK so that she'll do a fine job on the future events calendar. And there you go.
Okay. Tuesday, that's tomorrow, April 23rd, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Black Crow Coffee, 2157 First Avenue South in St. Pete. One Piece Each and the Girl Gone Green are hosting a green gathering. They invite you to celebrate your love for planet Earth with them. Drink coffee and participate in the festivities, which include art, sustainable living info, and fun. Another for Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. at St. Pete Community Acupuncture, 1624 Central Avenue in St. Pete. It's the kickoff of a monthly free Indigenous Issues film and lecture series, and the film for this Tuesday is A Tattoo on My Heart. It tells the history of the 71-day liberation of Wounded Knee by the brave men and women who stood up in 1973. This liberation was a part of a resurgence in Native pride. Wednesday, April 24th from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Whedon Island Cultural and Natural History Center, 1800 Whedon Drive Northeast in St. Pete. It's the Friends of Pinellas Master Naturalist Quarterly Environmental Education Program. And this time the topic is killer whales of Puget Sound. Can we save them? God, I hope so. Southern resident killer whales are severely endangered, and the governor of Washington and presidential candidate Jay Inslee has put together a task force aimed at ensuring the survival of this iconic species. A significant problem for their survival is the death rate of their young, and last summer the world watched while one of these mother whales carried her dead calf on the water surface for over 2 weeks while she grieved. Finding an unexpected ally, researchers are applying aspects that have been learned about the endangered mountain gorilla in Africa to this whale's plight. Even though they're very different species, their similarities may inspire the survival of this whale population. So join Lindsay and Tom Bell when they share their personal experiences and amazing photos of these magnificent orcas. Also Wednesday, April 24th from 7 to 8:30 in the John Germany Library Auditorium, 900 Ashley Drive in Tampa. The Tampa Bay Democratic Socialist Eco-Socialist Working Group is reactivating, and here's what they have to say. The growing urgency of the climate crisis and the growing movement for just sustainable solutions represented by the rise of the Green New Deal, direct action by Extinction Rebellion, and the municipal efforts to guarantee clean energy at the local level by the Sierra Club's Ready for 100 campaign make it a crucial moment to build power locally for an eco-socialist future. Tampa Bay area is one of those vulnerable areas worldwide to sea level rise and storm surge. They want to keep pressure on TECO to retire fossil fuels and roll out solar programs. They want to pressure Kathy Castor to support the Green New Deal. And they want to work on municipal efforts to on Ready for 100, among other things. So join them. Thursday, April 25th at 6 p.m. at Pinellas Technical College, or PTEC, 3548 11th Avenue South in St. Pete. It's another $3 meal with the One Community Grocery Co-op. Your donation at the door gets you a taste of local garden and restaurant food that supports St. Petersburg's One Community Grocery Co-op. And you can learn about healthy food, food systems, the co-ops in general, and this co-op and why you want to join it. And you really want to get in on this, people. I keep telling you every week, co-ops are the business model of the future. Another for Thursday, April 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Pinellas Aleworks, 1962, 1st Avenue South in St. Pete. It's Ales and Tales featuring guest bartender Erin Greenwood. She's an animal welfare advocate and winner of Creative Loafing's Best of the Bay Award for Best Local Author. She, along with some furry friends, are going to be at this April Yappy Hour. She'll be pouring your pints and signing copies of her hit book, Your Robot Dog Will Die. Thanks to Pinellas Aleworks and a generous donor, Friends of Strays are going to receive $2 for every beer sold. Erin's stories all aim to make this a better world for animals. They lead to animals getting adopted, folks donating to rescues and shelters, shelters implementing creative new programs and practices, and increased public awareness. And still another for Tampa Bay, for Thursday, April 25th, from 6:45 to 8:30 at the North Tampa Branch Library, 8916 North Boulevard. 5 for 15 is having a community assembly. They invite you to attend to learn more about how you can work with them in solidarity towards greater justice for everyone. Still another for Thursday, April 25th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist of Clearwater, 2470 Nursery Road. It's White People Against Stand Your Ground, an interactive social justice evening issues workshop. They will build confidence to talk about what is wrong with Stand Your Ground laws in Florida, and will prepare to be allies with the family of Marquise McLaughlin and the African-American community during the trial of Michael Dredka for manslaughter. And that trial begins August 19th, 2019. More filler for April 25th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Tampa Theater, 711 North Franklin Street. There's a free community screening of the Florida Wildlife Corridor's new documentary, The Last Green Thread. And what that's about? Well, in 2018, three friends set out on an expedition into the most rapidly developing landscape in Central Florida, traveling the narrowest and most imperiled wildlife corridor in the state. Reunited for a week-long trek through the last thread of wilderness, hidden beneath the sprawl of Central Florida, their journey is a meditation on the connectedness of place, people, and the potential to restore both in pursuit of a shared mission. As the team discovers, nature and friendships are remarkably resilient, even when stretched to their utmost limits. But when things fall apart, especially on a scale as vast as 21st century suburbia, will we have the courage and resourcefulness to put it back together again? Following the screening, there will be a panel discussion and audience question and answer period with an expert panel that includes Kathy Castor, U.S. Representative from the 14th Congressional District and Chair of the House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis, Mallory Dimmitt, President of the Florida Wildlife Corridor, Carlton Ward, Founder of the Florida Wildlife Corridor, Conservation Photographer and National Geographic Explorer, Ed Sherwood, Executive Director of the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, and Will Wellman, Director of Adult Faith Foundation, Palmacia Presbyterian Church and Ordained Minister. Awesome panel. The event is free, it's open to the public, and seating is first come, first serve. No tickets or reservations are necessary. And it's really all about the environment this week. Another one, Friday, April 26th at the Allendale United Methodist Church, 3803 Haynes Road North in St. Pete. A whole bunch of groups are hosting Local to Global, Environmental Challenges Facing Us Today, which is a panel discussion moderated by Jennifer Rubiello, Environment Florida State Director, along with a knowledgeable and diverse group of thought leaders in Tampa Bay, including Brian Beckman from the Suncoast Sierra Club, who leads the Pinellas Ready for 100 campaign, Rachel Curran, Florida staff attorney at Center for Biological Diversity, Zulima Ramos, Extinction Rebellion activist, and Sharon Wright, community and environmental planner who's currently St. Petersburg's sustainability director for the mayor's office. Also Friday, April 26th from 7 to 8 p.m. at Temple Beth El Shalom, 1701 29th Avenue North in St. Pete, Holocaust survivor Jerry Berwicki will give his live testimony. Come hear how Jerry survived the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, and I'll tell you, almost no one did, and how he later served in the underground resistance. Come and hear him, meet him yourself, and help ensure that it never happens again. And last Friday was the first night of Passover. It was also the 76th anniversary of the Warsaw Uprising. And this weekend, April 27th at 9 a.m. all the way through, ending on Sunday, April 28th at 4 p.m. at Walter Fuller Park, 7891 26th Avenue North in St. Pete. It's the Green Thumb Festival.
Green Thumb.
My thumb is black, I think. It's hosted by the City of St. Pete and the St. Pete Parks and Rec.
Black thumb.
St. Pete's annual Arbor Day celebration. It's the place to go to get all kinds of cool plants and garden accessories, to learn about plants and the environment, to get your soil tested by the county extension, to get a free tree, all kinds of stuff. There's also kids' activities and food.
Free tree.
This is free one of the tree. City's most popular events, so check it out. And that's what's going on.
Coach Tiki Weeks, thank you for another excellent future events calendar. Very, very good. Doesn't she do a great job? I mean, I think she does a great job every week.
Thank you.
So my compliments.
Pay no attention to the
Fats Domino sings, "I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill." But America's richest corporate powers know precisely where to find their thrill: on Capitol Hill. They rushed there in 2017 with a passion hotter than high school love, spewing the pheromones of campaign cash into the Republican Congressional Caucus. Sure enough, the GOP Congress came through for the corporations, satisfying their lust to have their tax rate lowered from 35% to 21%, lower than a modest income working stiff pays. Actually, the corporate elites had not been paying anywhere near 35%, since they used dozens of loopholes to cut their average rate to about 13%. Yet, Republican lawmakers coddled these privileged giants with a rate cut, plus they kept intact most of those gaping loopholes. Thus, many corporate behemoths paid zero in federal taxes this year, or less. How is it possible to pay less than zero? By riddling the tax code with so many special deductions and gimmicks that the government owes you money. On tax day this year, a watchdog group called Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy issued a report documenting that 60 of America's biggest corporations used the GOP's tax cut and special breaks to avoid paying a dime in taxes on the $79 billion in profits they had hauled in. Indeed, they were given millions of dollars in rebates from our public treasury. For example, Amazon, which had $11 billion in profit last year, paid zero in federal income tax, instead plucking $126 million in rebates from us. This is Jim Hightower saying, this plutocratic ripoff is so shameful that a group of embarrassed rich people are calling for its repeal. For information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org.
If you'd like more of Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at tantalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
We take care of our own.
Hi, this is Bruce Wright and
Jorge Angulo
with Revolutionary Road Radio Show on the TAN Talk Network, and we're on Monday nights at 10 p.m., and we just want to let you know about a drive we're doing to support orphaned girls in Sierra Leone and the refuges work with the homeless. You can support this effort by going to paypal.me/therefugefl or call 727-278-1547. Sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture and
Angulo Law Office.
When the history of the Trump presidency is written, members of Congress will be sorted into two categories: the ones who let politics scare them out of holding Trump accountable, and those who had the courage to stand up and defend our democracy. Republicans in Congress should support impeachment hearings to uncover the truth. But first, they have a choice to make. Which side of history do they want to be on? Need to Impeach is responsible for the content of this advertising.
A presidency under siege, coming undone. Donald Trump can't be trusted to govern within the law, and his lies are hurting the country. Congress should begin impeachment hearings now, so they can gather and preserve evidence to make sure the American people finally get the truth about corruption, abuse of power, and obstruction of justice. We can't afford to wait. It's time to start impeachment hearings now. Need to Impeach is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Spectrum 360.
Shut up, fool. I'm the producer and host of this program. That was the Honey Drippers with Impeach the President. Hope you enjoyed that.
I did.
My whole life I've been greedy, greedy, greedy. I've grabbed all the money I could get. I'm so greedy.
Just one other thing. I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk.
Thank you.
I feel better now. I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
Hey, Mr. Jockey, white courtesy telephone, please.
Let's go to segment four for this week's Spectrum 360, and that is the Spectrum 360 report on the Mueller report itself. And I'm just going to start with what happened last week on Thursday, which was 18 April 2019. Excuse me. And in the morning of that day at 9:30 a.m., current Attorney General, I don't know if he's acting or not.
I
can make some
so
jokes,
hard to
but,
keep yeah,
but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Attorney General William Barr conducted a press conference, and what he did was he announced that the Mueller report was going to be released that day. It was scheduled to be released to the public at 3 p.m. and then 1 or 2 or 3 hours earlier to members of Congress. And actually, it was all done early. The report was released to Congress, and it was released to the public way earlier than that. And I was able to very quickly find it online and download my own PDF copy of the report, which I'm going through now. And we'll have a lot more to cover next week as we read through the report for this week. It's over 400 pages, so it's an awful lot to read. But we're going to be highlighting.
You haven't finished it? It only took William Barr a weekend to read that thing.
Oh, give me a break. He didn't do it. So anyway, we're going to have more coverage of that in future programs because there's so much to cover in it. And then what William Barr did was basically he reiterated the lie from President Trump and his lawyers that the report completely exonerates the president of any wrongdoing and that there was no collusion and no obstruction of justice. That simply is not true. The report states that himself, the summary that Robert Mueller and his team created states specifically that they could not exonerate the president. And then they started to lie and said it did. And then the first statement after the report was announced that it was going to be released, the first statement that William Barr did, the famous four-page letter regarding it to Congress, which some people are calling it a summary. William Barr asks people not to call it a summary. It's a letter of notification. It has some summary details in it, but it's not an actual summary. So he's right with that. But, you know, he stated the lie from that day that it exonerated the president. The president stated this, and that's a total and complete lie. It does not. Now, the situation is complicated by the fact that Robert Mueller is very conservative, and in terms of character and in terms of legal experience and his conducting of the special counsel inquiry, you know, I trust him very much because he is a person of high character and he's very experienced, former director of the FBI and many other things, a combat wounded Marine in Vietnam, a lot of things that give him a lot of credibility. But nobody's perfect, and although you know, he did have the integrity to do a good job, and he had the follow-through to do a good job and a lot of experience. And he created an excellent report that documents all this terrible behavior by Donald Trump and his administration and how some of it's even been resisted by his own administration because he's such a terrible president. The fact is that Robert Mueller did not move to indict the president, and the reason why is Department of Justice policy. He cannot do that due to the current Justice Department policy, and it's not a law, it's just a policy, it's a norm. And since he's an institutionalist, he decided to cooperate with the current norm. Now, people have speculated, and I agree
with
them.
And what is that norm? Is that one does you cannot indict a sitting president?
Yes, exactly. So people have speculated, and I agree with them, that what he should have done was challenge that precedent and made a case that would probably have gone to the Supreme Court. It would have been a lot of work, it would have been a lot of time, and a lot further effort, but I believe that that's what he should have done. He chose not to do that.
It's not settled law at all, whether
yes.
one can or cannot indict a sitting president or vice president.
And that's what should have been done. So, but he didn't do that. He stayed with precedent and current policy, and then left it up to Congress to make a political judgment on the obstruction of justice and collusion charges. And there is collusion and there is obstruction, definitely. And it some of it may not rise to actual violation of law. Some of it doesn't. Some of it does. But this is a terrible president. He's unfit for office. He's unqualified. Should never become president to begin with. So Congress is going to have to deal with that. And we're going to have to go through the process to get the entire report. I'm still reading it myself. And that's what's happening with the report.
One thing that it does make crystal clear is that there definitely was Russian interference in the 2016 election, which is something that should concern everyone. And yet Congress is making no effort to deal with that in terms of our future elections, how to secure them.
Yes. So that's where we're at with the report. And we'll have more on this next week. And on an ongoing basis, we're going to report on the Mueller report because there's so much in it. So that completes segment four for this week's Spectrum 360. For Monday, the 22nd of April, 2019. Let's go to segment five. And segment five is there was a letter by the Extinction Rebellion group in Portland, Oregon, to the mayor and city council of Portland, Oregon, regarding the actions that they're taking, rezoning part of the city on their own authority and planting a victory garden and doing some extraordinary things. And TK Weeks has this extraordinary letter, and then she's going to read that now.
Yeah.
So that it's an extraordinary letter, extremely articulate on the issues. We're going to read this as part of our Extinction Rebellion and climate change coverage. TK Weeks.
I mentioned on the future events calendar last week that the group Extinction Rebellion was calling last week for a worldwide week of action. And there, in fact, were actions around the world, including here in the Tampa Bay area. We talked about in the news summary, in London, over 400 people were arrested. But I want to talk about what's been happening in Portland, Oregon, because it's not getting a lot of media coverage, and I think it's pretty extraordinary. What's happened is a group of activists has taken over Oregon's only crude oil export terminal. It's blocked all train traffic leading to the Northwest Portland facility. The Extinction Rebellion protesters have dumped topsoil over the railroad tracks and planted a Victory Over Fossil Fuels garden on an adjacent to the train tracks.
Wow.
By midday, they had a tiny house, a large globe, and a crowd of at least 100 outside the Zenith Energy Terminal. The activists remained camped throughout the night and were still there as of Monday afternoon. Group members told a local news station that they expected to be arrested, but they thought it would be well worth it. They want the city to shut Zenith down, want the area rezoned. And I do want to read you the letter that these activists wrote to the mayor and city council of Portland. I will start this now. On Sunday, April 21st, Extinction Rebellion initiated a blockade of the Zenith crude oil transloading facility and its associated rail lines. We are writing to inform you that we have rezoned the industrial corridor in which this facility is sited, which also houses numerous other fossil fuel operations, from an employment and industry-based zone to an open space designation. We urge you to use your powers to make this zoning change official, but we are not waiting for such measures to begin enforcing our own code. We do not have the mandate of having been elected, nor do we have a budget or a clear formal mechanism for enforcing these changes. We do, however, have the mandate of enforcing a policy that is congruent with a dangerous physical reality, which you have thus far not evinced. At this point, in the context of a rapid deterioration of the physical predicates of life on Earth, we no longer believe anyone who fails to take hasty measures to impact this trajectory has a meaningful claim to power. This is all the more pertinent with respect to the city of Portland because its government, unlike those of more right-wing polities, is entirely aware that we are in a crisis without precedent and entirely lacks policies with any plausible semblance of a chance of responding to that crisis. Portland has a climate action plan, which acknowledges the gravity of the situation, but which describes policy actions with no coherent relationship with the plan's emissions reduction targets. Ostensible emission reductions from individual measures are not even quantified, and in a number of cases, they're cumulatively manifestly insufficient. They then go on to talk about some of the specific policies. And I'll go on. This leaves only 9 measures that could even qualify as concrete actions, all of which are on the scale of changes from existing traffic signals to smart signals, and even lacking attempt at quantification are clearly insufficient to substantially impact transportation emissions. This analysis is also supported by the raw empirical reality, which any long-term resident of Portland would acknowledge, that there are more automobiles on Portland streets and interstates than at the time of the issuance of the first climate action plan in 2013. Confronted with such a circumstance, only 2 conclusions are reasonable. 1, the city of Portland's government does not understand its own policies, or 2, the city of Portland's government has actively issued or consciously failed to update policies it knows are wildly insufficient. We believe the latter is more likely, and that the cause of this is not because it was your intention at the outset. We believe, no matter what scale of power one possesses, that meaningfully confronting the climate crisis involves great uncertainty, inconvenience, and conflict with very powerful and unscrupulous adversaries. For all the overstated technicality of climate policy at large, there are exceptionally simple measures the city could take. In contrast to the mountains of acronym-laden planning documents the state and city have issued to date, which would substantially and immediately impact our contribution to the climate crisis. The zoning code changes we have announced today are an example of the city's ability to influence the carbon economy beyond its borders and the power politics that underlie this economy. Zoning automobiles out of the downtown core, as a number of European cities have done or are in the process of doing, is another example of a policy that would actually impact the city's transportation emissions. Of course, such zoning code changes would generate public controversy and, in a number of cases, be very likely to create conflicts with other political jurisdictions, state and federal preemption conflicts. Meaningful action on climate is inevitably difficult and frightening. The ability to confront difficulty and fear and take action nonetheless, in this case to contest the power that underlies the ecological crisis, with no guarantees that one's actions will have any measurable impact, is precisely the quality that we believe defines leadership. We are asking you to be leaders. We are asking you to find your courage. We are asking you to find your courage. We do not ask this in ignorance of the considerable burden it implies, but we ask you to consider them against the unbearable sacrifices that have been made by those struggling locally and globally against the destruction of life on Earth and the unthinkable consequences the world will face if you do not. People right here in Portland have turned off pipelines, blockaded trains, faced off with riot police, been charged with felonies, been subjects of investigation, sacrificed careers, and otherwise endured considerable discomfort in their efforts. To be blunt, we ask you to look directly into the ugly face of the greatest existential and spiritual crisis that humanity or any sentient creature on earth has ever faced and act accordingly. The world is rapidly changing and we all feel the weight of our actions. You have a form of power we do not possess, but we are not asking anything of you that many of us have not given many times over. We urge you to join us. We urge you to join us in particular in rezoning the Northwest Industrial Corridor, which contains the Zenith Energy Facility. We urge you to accept that no one with more power than you or less to lose is going to intervene in this global trajectory. Wow.
July 2015, July itself, turns out to be the single hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Ta-da. In the history of keeping records of Earth's average temperatures, no month has ever been hotter than this past month. We did it. But remember, global warming is a hoax, easily disproven by the fact that it still sometimes snows in the winter. So pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data.
Spectrum 360.
And that concludes segment 5 of this week's Spectrum 360. We're not going to have time to do segment 6 this week, so we will reschedule that for next week's program. That'll be the Spectrum 360 film review of the film They Shall Not Grow Old, which is an extraordinary film that you'll want to hear about. It's very, very interesting. And TK Weeks, your final comments for this week's Spectrum 360.
Mad respect and gratitude for the folks of Extinction Rebellion Portland. Tremendously brave action, looking right into the face of something most of us don't want to face.
Well, that's very true. Yes, I do agree with that. And on next week's Spectrum 360, we will have more exclusive coverage of events from the Spectrum 360 Media Archive. Most of these are exclusives that are exclusive to Spectrum 360 Media. We do a lot of exclusives on this program basically all the time, and that's very accurate, and we're going to continue to do that, and more coverage of local and national events, current affairs. So come back next week for another Spectrum 360, and we'll do this again. Please listen every week, and you can always listen to the webcast at spectrum360media.com. That's a very convenient way to listen to the program. So take advantage of that. Watch the videos and look at the still photographs, all the stuff that we've got on Spectrum 360 Media now, including coverage from the last Earth Day, which was two Saturdays ago, the 13th of April. And we're going to have a lot more of that to come, too, including coverage of what happened at the Climate Reality Leadership Court training last month with Dr. William Barber and more. So that's exciting. We're going to have a lot of fun. So we invite you to keep listening. Keep supporting us. Go to Spectrum360Media.com and come back next week for another Spectrum 360 original radio program. Spectrum 360!
Woohoo!
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.